This week's parsha is Parshas Vayikra, and it's also Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Therefore, this week's parsha is going to be Parshas Achodesh, and therefore our shiur is going to focus on Parshas Achodesh. In Parshas Achodesh, we read from Shmos chapter 12, where there we have the mitzvah of sanctifying the moon, and there on verse number 1 it says, Vayomer Adonai al Moshe v'al Aharon be'eretz Mitzrayim le'emor, Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aharon in the land of Egypt, saying, Achodesh hazeh, this month, lochem should be to you Rosh Chodeshim, the first of the month. Rishon hu lochem should be the first to you lechodesh hashana, for the month of the year. Rashi explains that since it says Achodesh hazeh, this month to you, Hero Levana Bichidusha, that Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon the moon when it is being renewed, V'amaloi, and Hashem told them, Kesheoreach Mischadesh Yelochem Rosh Chodesh. When the moon becomes new, meaning when you see the new moon, then it should be for you Rosh Chodesh. The next Rashi says Hazeh, this one, and normally when it says Hazeh, that means that somebody is pointing to something. Therefore, Rashi brings down from the Mechilta that Niskashe Moshe al Moila de Levana, that it was very hard for Moshe Rabbeinu to understand exactly when it is considered the new moon, meaning Be'ezes Shiur Teroe Veteye Ruo Lekadesh, in what measurement do you see the moon that it should be worthy to be sanctified? Ve'her Loi Be'ezba Salavona Barkia. Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu with his metaphoric finger the moon, and he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kozeh re'ei u'kadesh, you should see like that the moon, and you should sanctify the moon. Meaning that Hashem had to show Moshe Rabbeinu the moon, and he told Moshe Rabbeinu, when you see the moon at this stage, then you sanctify the moon. And right afterwards, on verse number 3, it says, Dabru Ekol Das Israel, tell the whole congregation of Israel, Leimor, saying, Be'oso Lachodesh Hazeh, in the 10th of this month, Viku Lochem Ish Sela Ve'esavois, Sela Bois. Each man should take a lamb for his father's house, a lamb for each household, and they should make the Pesach offering. Meaning that at the same time when Hashem gave us the mitzvah of sanctifying the moon, He also told us right away to bring the Passover offering. Our shiur today is going to be mostly from the Shem Mishmul, where the Shem Mishmul asks many questions on these verses. First, he notes, as we mentioned, that there is no interruption between the mitzvah of sanctifying the month and the mitzvah of bringing the Passover offering. And he asks why? Because they are really two independent mitzvahs, meaning that we have the mitzvah to sanctify the month, not only in the month of Nisan. This mitzvah applies to all the months of the year. Any of the 12 months, we are required to sanctify the month. And he continues and says that you want to tell me that Hashem is telling us when to sanctify the month, because Hashem wants us to take on the 10th of Nisan the Passover offering and bring that Passover offering on the 14th of Nisan, and therefore you want to tell me that this is the reason why we have to have the mitzvah of sanctifying the month? That is not so, because even if we wouldn't have the mitzvah of sanctifying the month, we could still know when is Rosh Chodesh according to the accounting that we have all the way from Adam HaRishon. Meaning, we follow the accounting from when Adam HaRishon was born, and then we count the months, then we'll know when the month is, and we'll take the 14th of this month, we'll bring the Passover offering. We do not need to have the sanctification of the month in order to bring the Passover offering. Then he asks, if that is so, why did Hashem put both mitzvahs, the mitzvah of sanctifying the month, together with the mitzvah of the Passover offering? The second question that the Shem Mishmul asks is that all the codifiers of the mitzvahs call this that we see the moon and we say that it should be Rosh Chodesh, Kiddush HaChodesh, the sanctification of the month. He asks, why is it called Kiddush HaChodesh, the sanctification of the month? Rosh Chodesh is not a holy day. Then why is it called Kiddush HaChodesh, the sanctification of the month? Besides the point, he says that looking at the moon, all it does is establish when Rosh Chodesh is. Then it should be called Kviyas HaChodesh, the establishment of the month, and not Kiddush HaChodesh, and not sanctification of the month. In the same way that the Rambam says that nowadays that we do not establish the new month by looking at the moon and saying that it should be sanctified, we now have a fixed calendar which establishes for us when Rosh Chodesh is, when the new month is, and therefore it's called Kviyas HaChodesh, the fixing of the month. Then he asks, why when we look at the moon and we establish Rosh Chodesh, the new month, by looking at the moon, we call it Kiddush HaChodesh, we call it the sanctification of the moon. Another question that the Shami Shmuel asks is that the Medrash seems to exalt the Jewish people that they were meritorious to sanctify the month. He asks, what is the big deal that the Jewish people sanctify the month? If they wouldn't sanctify the month, you could still establish when the new moon is and when Rosh Chodesh is the way we do it today. Then what is the big deal that we sanctify the month? What is the point of us sanctifying the month? The Shami Shmuel starts answering all the questions by first noting that in the Kiddush Levana, in the sanctification of the moon, that we say before the moon is full, in the middle of the blessing, we say, V'lalavana Omar Shetis Chadesh, and to the moon, he said that it should renew itself, Ateres Tiferes La'amusei Vaten, this it is a crown of splendor for those born from the womb, Shema Sidim Le'ischadesh Kemoisa, that they are destined to be renewed like the moon, meaning that the Jewish people are going to be renewed like the moon. And also, the Medrash Rabbah in Parshat Tezvav, Sof Simen Chav Zayin of Shemos, says that it's written, Achoydesh Hazeh Lochem, that this month is to you. And the Medrash wants to understand, what does it mean to you? The Medrash answers that we are also like the moon, meaning we follow the same happenings that happen to the moon. Then the question is, what is happening to the moon that the Jewish people follow it, that they are the same? Therefore, the Shami Shmuel says that everybody knows that the moon does not have its own light, meaning it doesn't have an internal light that will make it shine. And the reason why the moon seems to be lit for us, why it has light, it is because the moon reflects the light of the sun. And depending how the moon is positioned in the sky, that is how the amount of reflection of the sun it gets. Meaning that if there is something blocking the reflection, then the moon will get less reflection and will seem somewhat not lit. And certain times it is fully lit and certain times is completely blocked. And he continues and explains that the Jewish people are also like that. That in normal circumstances, in nature, the Jewish people don't have any existence. Their only existence is because Hashem wills it and Hashem wants us to be there. And he says that this is the meaning of the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kaf Nun Vav Omed Aleph 156a, when the Gemara says that Ein Mazel LeYisrael, that the Jewish people are not under any celestial stars, because the Jewish people are in fact totally under Hashem. That Hashem is the one that supervises us, and we are in normal circumstances not supposed to exist. Only because of the grace of Hashem we exist. And therefore he explains that since we exist only because of Hashem, our situation, the way we exist, will only depend on our connection to Hashem. If our trust and belief in Hashem is complete, then our existence is going to be stronger. Therefore, In the same way that when there is something blocking the sun's light to the moon, then the moon becomes dim, meaning that when the earth or one of the stars are blocking the shine of the sun to the moon, then the moon is not as visible. So too, when we sin and we do something wrong, then the light of Hashem is being blocked, and the light of Hashem, it's not visible on us. Therefore, we are exactly like the moon, that we don't have our own light. We get our light from Hashem in the same way that the moon doesn't have its own light, and it gets its light from the sun, and depending on the blockage on that light, that is how the moon shines. So too, the Jewish people, depending on the blockage that we have from Hashem, depending on the amount of sins that we have, then so we will shine. If we have no sins, then we'll shine more. But if you have more sins, then we will shine less. And the Shemishmu says that this is exactly what Yeshaya says in chapter 59, Kim avonoiseichem oyum avdilim beineichem levein lekechem, because only your sins are separating you and your God, meaning the Jewish people and Hashem, meaning that our sin causes a blockage, and therefore the light of Hashem cannot reach us, and therefore we get trouble. According to this, the Shemishmul says, we could understand now the Gemara in Ksubes, Daf Samach Vav Omed Beis. There the Gemara tells a story, Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis learned, Masa b'Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. It was a story from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that he was riding on a donkey and he was coming out of Yerushalayim, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's students were walking behind him. While Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is riding on his donkey, he saw a young maiden who was collecting grains of barley from within the excrements of the animals of herbs, meaning she didn't have what to eat, and she was hoping that the animals did not digest completely their food. Therefore, she was able to get certain grains from the excrement in order either to plant it and be able to eat later, or to eat it right now. As soon as she saw that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is coming, she covered herself up, and she asks Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to please feed her. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked her, "Whose daughter are you?" And she answered that she's the daughter of Nachdimon Ben Gurion. Nachdimon Ben Gurion was a very notorious, wealthy man. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asks, "What happened to your father's money?" So she answered that there is a proverb in Yerushalayim that to salt money, you have to give it away. Meaning that salt is a preservative, and if you want to preserve your money, the only way you could do that is by giving it away, meaning giving money away to charity. That is the only way that you are going to preserve money. Another version of what he says is that to salt money, chesed, that you have to do kindness, meaning the way to preserve money is to do kindness, and since my father did not do kindness, he lost all his money. Then Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asks, "What happened to your father-in-law's money?" Meaning, her father-in-law was also wealthy. What happened to his money? She answered that they commingled funds together, meaning my father-in-law gave my father money, and when my father lost his money, he lost also the money of my father-in-law. Then Nachdimon ben Gurion's daughter tells Rabbi Yochanan, Do you remember when you signed on my ksuba?" So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to his students, "I remember that when I signed on this ksuba of this girl, it was written there that she brought 1,000,000 dinar of gold from her father's house besides what was promised by her father-in-law." Meaning that her father gave her 1,000,000 dinar of gold besides what was promised by her father-in-law, and yet here she has nothing. The Gemara says that Bochar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ve'amar, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai cried and said, "Ashreichem Israel, praiseworthy are you Israel. Bizman she'oisim retzoino shel makom, when you do the will of Hashem, ein kol uma ve'loshon sholetes bam. no nation or tongue can rule over you. But vizman shein oisim retzoyno shel makom, but when you do not do the will of Hashem, masrom b'yad umos feila, Hashem gives you over under a lowly nation, veloy b'yad umos feila, not only under a lowly nation, the Arabs, elo b'yad behemtom shel umos feila, but under the animals of the lowly nation, meaning that she is looking for food from the excrements of the animals from the Arabs. The Shem Shmuel is bothered by what is the praise that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is saying. Therefore, the Shem Shmuel says that this is exactly what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is saying, that since we reflect our connection to Hashem and we have no standing in a natural way like the other nations of the world, we are totally dependent on Hashem. Therefore, when we behave the proper way, Hashem makes His light shine on us and we are totally successful and Hashem raises us above everything else. But when we sin and we have blockage, then we do not reflect the light of Hashem, then we are totally dim and we are lowly and we are under even the lowliest of nations. Just as a side note, the Gemara there asks a question, how can you say that Nachdimon Ben Gurion lost his money because he didn't give it away, he didn't do charity? We learned that Nachdimon Ben Gurion, whenever he was going out to Beis HaMedrash, to the study hall, they used to put woolen garments under his feet and they never took it back. So the poor people used to take those woolen garments and sell it, and like that they used to be supported. Then we see that Nachdimon Ben Gurion gave charity. The Gemara gives two answers why he lost his money, even though technically he gave this charity. The first answer of the Gemara is that he gave charity, but his charity was only given for his honor, meaning that he didn't put those rugs under his feet because he wanted to give charity. He put the rug under his feet because he wanted to be honored, and even though as a consequence people received charity, but since this was not his original intention, therefore it's not counted as charity. And the second interpretation that the Gemara says is that true, he gave charity, he gave away all these rugs and all these carpets under his feet, but still, since his fortune was much greater and he could have given much more charity and he didn't give, therefore he suffered that he lost his money. And the Gemara gives the example, like people say, the fungamla, according to the strength of the camel, its load. Meaning, when the camel is stronger, you put a heavier load. When the camel is weaker, you give a weaker load. So too, since Nachdimon Ben Gurion was such an extraordinary wealthy man, he should have given more charity, he shouldn't have given just the carpets, and since he didn't do it, unfortunately, he lost his money. But going back to our Shem Shmuel, the Shem Shmuel says that now you understand why the Jewish people count the days by the moon and the nation of the world count them by the sun, because each one of us counts by what he is alike. Since the Jewish people's existence is totally by Hashem, and therefore depending on the light that we get from Hashem, so is our shine. Therefore, we are likened like the moon. But since the nations of the world have an existence in nature, and they are a constant, therefore they count by the sun, which the sun is a constant. And he explains that don't think that this is a good thing, this is actually a bad thing. He explains it based on of Rav Yitzchak Mevarke explains, which is a famous saying, that the Gemara in Yuma Daf Ayin Hei Amud Aleph 75a is discussing the curse of the snake. There the Gemara says, Tanya, we learned Omar Rabbi Yossi says, come and see that not the same characteristic that Hashem has, human being have. Meaning that when a human being is angry at somebody else, he makes sure that the somebody else's livelihood is impaired, that he takes away his livelihood. But Hashem, when he got angry at the snake, Hashem made it that the snake should go up to the roof. He should have his livelihood with him. And when it descends below, it also has his livelihood with him. Why? Because it's written in the verse in Bereshit chapter 3, verse number 14, V'ofor toichal kol yomei chayecha, that dust you'll eat all the days of your life. And since there is dust everywhere, that means that the snake has got his livelihood everywhere, because everywhere it goes, it has dust. Then Rabbi Yitzchak Mevarka asks a question. It's written that Hashem cursed the snake, and eating dust is part of the curse. Then what curse is it, since everywhere it goes, it has his livelihood? Therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak Mevarka explains that this is exactly why it's considered a curse, that by the snake having his livelihood everywhere, the snake lost its connection from Hashem. Because since the snake now doesn't need Hashem for the livelihood, the snake never raises his eye and prays to Hashem. Therefore, the snake is totally not connected to Hashem, because Hashem made sure that everything that is created has something missing in order to connect to Hashem. But here in the case, the snake has nothing connected to Hashem, therefore it is considered a curse. I also saw something like that in regards to the blessing of Boyer Nefoshes Rabbis, the blessing that we do after we drink water. And the language of the blessing is Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, bless are you Hashem, King of the Universe. Boyer Nefoshes Rabbis, Hashem who creates numerous living things, V'chesroinom, and their deficiencies, meaning that we are praising Hashem for creating us and our deficiencies. For example, we are praising Hashem for making us deficient, that we cannot go on living on our own, that we require to have water, and therefore we are giving the blessing for Hashem that Hashem created us and our deficiencies. And the question that Meforshim asks is, why are we praising Hashem for creating our deficiencies? It would have been better if Hashem would have created us without the need for water, without any deficiencies. Then you would praise Hashem just for creating us whole. Why we need to praise Hashem for creating us and our deficiencies? If you wouldn't need any water, would it have been better? And the answer is exactly like the Shemishmu brings down. Because since the point is to connect you with Hashem, if you wouldn't have any deficiencies, you'd never connect to Hashem. You'd never need to have water. You'd never need to thank Hashem for creating the water for you. Therefore, Hashem makes it that He gives you a deficiency that you require to have water. And every time you drink the water, then you connect to Hashem. Therefore, we are praising Hashem for giving us our souls and our deficiencies, because our deficiencies make us connect to Hashem via prayer or via thankfulness. But going back to the Shemishmul explains that this is the reason why the nations of the world are like the sun, which are a constant. They have a place in nature. They don't have much connection to Hashem, where the Jewish people are like the moon, were totally dependent on Hashem, and therefore their connection to Hashem is greater. Now the Shemishmul reinterprets the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Samach Omed Bey 60b, where there the Gemara says that Rab Shimon ben Pazi Rami, Rab Shimon ben Pazi has a contradiction, that the verse in creation, chapter 1, verse number 16, it says, Vayas Elohim, Eshnei HaMeoiros HaGadolim, Hashem made the two great lights, which seems to imply that they are both big. Then it says, "As Hamoer Agadol, the greater light, lemem shloiz ayoyim, to rule over the day, as Hamoer Akotn, and the lower light, lemem shloiz alaylo, to rule over the night, as Akoychovim, and the stars," which implies that there is a greater light and a lower light. So it contradicts the beginning of the verse. The Gemara says that Omro Yoreach Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the moon came in front of Hashem and said, Riboyne Shel Olam, Efsher L'Shnei Melachim Sheishtamshu Bekeser Echad? Is it possible that two kings should use one crown? Meaning, how can we both be in the same situation? Omar lo, so Hashem tells the moon, Lechi umati es asmecha, go and diminish yourself. And therefore it's written, the greater luminary by day and the smaller luminary by night. Meaning in the simple manner that originally they are both exactly the same, and after the moon complained, Hashem told the moon to make himself smaller, and therefore the moon now doesn't have a light of his own. But the Shemishmul says that this is not the correct interpretation of what happened. Clearly, in the whole nature, Hashem always created a mashpia and a makabel, a giver and a taker. That whole creation has something that gives to somebody else. And here too he explains that the sun always had the light of its own, and the moon always received the light, meaning always reflected the light of the sun, and the sun was the mashpia, and the moon was the mekabel. The sun was the giver, and the moon was the taker, as in all nature. But since the moon was in a higher orbit where there is no blockage from anything, then the moon was always lit. The moon was always opposite the sun because they were in a higher orbit, and therefore the moon always had the total reflection of the sun, and therefore it looked to us as both great luminaries. But once the moon complained, then Hashem told the moon to diminish itself. And the Shemishmul explains that diminish itself means to lower itself out of the higher orbit, go to a smaller orbit where your orbit now is going to be a smaller span of time than the orbit of the sun. And in this orbit, the moon is not always exactly opposite the sun, then automatically it cannot be lit the full time as the sun. And also in this orbit, there are other things that are blocking it. And therefore, since the other things are blocking it, it cannot reflect the light of the sun. Then comes out that there is two problems now with the moon. One, that it went to a lower orbit, which is not exactly opposite the sun. Therefore, it cannot be always totally lit because it can't always reflect exactly the sun. And the second, because you have different bodies that are obstructing the moon. And he says that in the future, both things will be rectified. And again, the moon will totally reflect the shine of the sun. And the Shemishmul continues and says that the Jewish people also have the same problem, that they have two things that block our connection to Hashem, our getting the light from Hashem. The first thing is that we, unfortunately, don't look up to Hashem, that we are not looking always to Hashem, not like Moshe Rabbeinu that was always ready to receive the prophecy and was always ready to look up to Hashem. We are like the moon that certain times gets the reflection of Hashem and certain times it does not get the reflection of Hashem. Sefer HaYosher calls those days that we want to be connected to Hashem as the days of love, and the days that we don't want to be connected to Hashem as the days of hate, meaning the days where you are doing mitzvahs, you're connecting to Hashem, is the days of love, and the days where you're not looking up to Hashem, you are sinning, as the days of hate. But even on the days that you want to be connected to Hashem, your connection to Hashem is not totally clear, and it's not straight through. Because if that connection would be totally clear, then your face would be lit up as a fire. Because as the Medrash Rabbah brings down in Vayikra, Perek Aleph, that when Pinchas got his divine prophecy, his face used to be lit up, kalapidis, like a flame, meaning fire came out of his face. And also, the wife of Manoach, when she saw the angel in Shoftim chapter Yud Gimel, in Judges chapter 13, which was of fire, then she thought that it was a prophet, because the prophet, when he received this prophecy, directly from Hashem. His face was lit like a fire. And unfortunately, nowadays, even when you are performing mitzvahs, even when you want to be connected to Hashem, nonetheless, your face does not shine, does not get that fire. And that is because there is a masach, there is a curtain blocking you from Hashem. That even when you want to perform mitzvahs, there's still a little bit of blockage that light cannot come totally through, and therefore your face does not shine like those previous prophets. But when the Moshiach will come, when will be the total tikkun, then the curtain will be removed, and then you'll be able to get the total light of Hashem. The Shem Mishmul explains further that since the diminishing of the moon came because it criticized Hashem, as Hashem would know what and how to create this world, therefore, every time the moon doesn't get the full light of the sun, there is power in this world to cause corruption, to cause people to sin. Meaning that the days that it's fully opposite the sun, when it's a full moon, then the power of the chitzoinim, the power of the outside forces, are not so great to cause corruption. But when the light of the moon is not as strong, then the power of corruption in the world becomes stronger. But he says that there is only one way to stop that corruption to continue, and that is to sanctify it. Meaning that since the Gemara writes down in Yevamos Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, and also in Gittin, Daf Mem Amud Beis, in the name of Rava, that Hekdesh Mafkia Midei Shibut, that sanctification removed from Shibut, normally there Shibut is translated as a lien, meaning that when somebody makes his axe as a lien for a debt, and then he consecrates the axe, then the axe is consecrated even though it was lent, because consecration has the power to remove a shibut, a lin. But the Shem Mishmul, in the name of his father, plays with the word and says that shibut is also subjugation, that here we are subjugated for the outside forces because of the sins, because of the sin of the moon. Therefore, when we consecrate the moon, then we are able to remove the shibut, the subjugation of the outside forces. We are no longer under the power of those dark forces that are on the dark days of the moon. Therefore, we are able to get to a higher place. And he explains that normally, in order to get to a higher place, you have to do something good, you have to continue doing something right. But here, the mere fact that we want to consecrate the moon, we want to separate ourselves from the bad forces, that in itself is already something that we are doing good, and therefore that itself helps us to get to a higher place. According to this idea, the Shem Mishmul says that when we went out of Egypt, we faced two corrupting forces. And he says that those corrupting forces are alluded on what we say in the Agada, when we say, Avodi Moinu, we were slaves, Le Paroi Bemitzrayim, to Paroi in Egypt. It's not enough to say that Avodi Moinu Le Paroi, that we were slaves to Paroi, or Avodi Moinu Bemitzrayim, or we were slaves in Egypt. We say both things, because we were slaves to Paroi, which is a corrupting force, and we are also slaves in Egypt, which is also a corrupting force. Meaning, we had two separate forces to overcome, and those forces are very hard to overcome. Therefore, Hashem gave us an idea how to overcome. The first thing Hashem told us is to be mekadesh the moon, make sure you sanctify, and since sanctification removes from shibut, from subjugation, then by you sanctifying the moon, you are weakening the power of Paroi and the power of Mitzrayim. You're still not removing it completely. You are just weakening those powers by sanctifying. And when you do the Korban Pesach, when you do the Passover offering, when you bring an offering totally to Hashem, then you completely remove those powers. Therefore, he says that Hashem told us in the same statement to sanctify the moon, number one, that by you doing that, you are going to weaken the powers of Paroi. And after you sanctify the moon, you should bring a Korban Pesach. Like that, you completely annul the power of Paroi and of Egypt. And like that, you'll be able to leave Egypt. And according to this, Hashem Yishmul explains why is it called Kiddush HaChodesh, sanctifying the month, and not Kviyas HaChodesh, and not establishing the month. Because since we want to make sure that we stop the corrupting forces that came because of the sin of the moon, the dark of the moon came because of the moon criticizing Hashem, and therefore we receive corrupting forces which influence us, we want to make sure that those forces do not subjugate us, therefore we sanctify the month, thereby trying to remove the corrupting forces of the moon. And according to this idea, the same Shmuel explains that this could be the idea of Zohar v'Shomer on Shabbos, of remembering and safeguarding the Shabbos, meaning that in the description of the Ten Commandments in Parshas Yisroi, chapter 20, verse number 8, it says, Zohar es Yom HaShabbos LeKachoy, remember the Shabbos day to sanctify it. And in the description in Parshas Veshanon, in Devarim, chapter 5, verse number 12, it says, Shomer es Yom HaShabbos LeKachoy, safeguard the Shabbos to sanctify it. And Rashi is already bothered by the contradiction that here it says Zohar, and there it says Shomer, here it says remember, and there it says safeguard. And Rashi says that Zohar v'Shomer bedibur echad nemru, that Zohar, remember, and Shomer and safeguard were said in one utterance, meaning that they both sat together. But nonetheless, when the Torah describes the Shabbos, the Torah first says the word Zohar, remember Shabbos. And to remember Shabbos means that we have to say a prayer to sanctify Shabbos. We have to make the sanctification, utter the words to sanctify Shabbos. The Shem Yishmul explains that this could be the idea of why Zohar, why you require to sanctify Shabbos before you are able to safeguard Shabbos. Because since we know the beginning of Shabbos starts during the night, and because of the sin and the criticism of the moon to Hashem, therefore Hashem told the moon to diminish itself, and by diminishing itself, the moon caused that corrupting forces and corrupting influences should be at night when the moon is not totally lit and when the moon is not shining completely as it was during the 6 days of creation. Therefore, first we want to make sure to remove ourselves from the influences of the moon. And as the Shem Yishmul brings down, that the way to remove yourself from those influences is to hekdesh, to sanctify, because hekdesh mafkia midei shibut, because hekdesh, sanctification, removes from subjugation, and here the subjugation is the subjugation of the bad forces that causes corruption into the world. Therefore, first Hashem tells us, Zohar es Yom HaShabbos LeKachoy, make sure you sanctify Shabbos, make sure you remove your influences that corrupt you, because only after you remove those influences, you'll be able to do Shomer, you'll be able to safeguard the Shabbos properly. Because while you have those influences, chances are that you won't be able to safeguard Shabbos in the proper way. Therefore, Hashem tells you, first you make sure that Zohar, that you make Kiddush, that you sanctify. Once you sanctify, you remove the outside influences. And once you remove the outside influences, then you'll be able to do Shomer, you'll be able to safeguard Shabbos in the proper way. Finally, I wanted to answer the question of the Shemishmul, why is the commandment of Kiddush HaChodesh connected to the commandment that on the 10th day of Nisan we have to take the Passover offering? I wanted to answer based on what Tosfos brings down in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chof Zayin on Amud Aleph 27a. Tosfos there says that we know that there is a machlokes between Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and the machlokes is on Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Amud Beis, when Adam HaRishon was created. Rabbi Elezer says that Adam HaRishon was created on Tishrei, on the first of Tishrei, which is Rosh Hashanah. And Rabbi Yeshua says that Adam HaRishon was created, or the world was created, on Nisan, on the first of Nisan. And Tosfos there says that Rabbi Elezer HaKalir puts both opinions in his piyutim, in his poems. And therefore Tosfos says that Voimer Rabbeinu Tam, Eilu ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chaim, that both are true, that originally Hashem wanted to create the world on Tishrei, which Tishrei is a Zman Din, a time of justice, but saw that the world won't be able to continue, because under strict Din, justice, it is very hard to survive. Therefore Hashem created the world on the time of Nisan, which is the time of Chesed, of kindness. Then comes out that Adam HaRishon was created on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And could be that this is the reason why the Mishkan was inaugurated on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, because since, according to the Ramban, the Mishkan was a completion of what happened during creation, because during creation, when Adam HaRishon sinned, Adam HaRishon was kicked out from the presence of Hashem. And here, when the Mishkan, the tabernacle, is inaugurated, Hashem's presence came back to us. So therefore it was a ratification for the sin that Adam HaRishon made. And therefore also, which we mentioned in a previous CD, according to the Dazakenim of Baal Tosfos, in the end of Pikuda, the Mishkan was a ratification, was to make fit the 7 days of creation. And therefore comes out that on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Adam was created, and on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Adam sinned. And according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Ches Omed Beis, Adam HaRishon Koifer Be'iker Hayu, he denied the existence of Hashem. He denied that Hashem is the creator. It's tantamount of him doing idolatry, and therefore Adam HaRishon almost was like he did idolatry. And therefore also, I wanted to say that since Adam HaRishon sinned on the first of Nisan, and therefore Hashem said already on the first of Nisan that we should sanctify the month, and also he told us that we should count 10 days, because 10 days is tantamount of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, of the 10 days of repentance. And after the 10 days, Hashem told us to take the Passover offering, as Moshe Rabbeinu says, Mishchu Uchulachem, remove yourself from idolatry and take yourself a Passover offering totally Hashem. That means that we are atoning for the sin of idolatry, which was also the sin of Adam HaRishon. And therefore, specifically, after giving us the commandment to sanctify the first of Nisan, because that is the day that the world was created, Hashem tells us that in 10 days, I want you to make sure that you remove yourself completely from idolatry, because since we have those 10 days, which are tantamount of the 10 days of repentance, therefore, afterwards, you are ripe to remove yourself completely from idolatry by separating the Passover offering. And Hashem Yisburach should help that since we are sanctifying the month of Nisan, we are proclaiming Rosh Chodesh, and the Gemara brings down that the Megillah is always read when there is two Adars in the second Adar, because we want to put together redemption to redemption, our being saved from Achashverosh to our being saved from Paroi on Pesach. Then we see that between these 2 months is a great time of redemption. Then Hashem should help that we should be redeemed soon by having Moshiach come, the Beis Hamikdash rebuilt, Bimheiro Beyomeinu, Amen.